The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Hello, welcome to another episode of the Punt Intended Podcast, a Dynasty Fantasy Basketball podcast and a Sports Ethos production. As always, I am your host, Mark C., the Dynasty leader over at Sports Ethos. You can find me at MacAttack145 on Twitter and my writings and rankings over at SportsEthos.com. Now, we're going to get into some draft scouting later, but first, I want to touch on the playoff games in the past week and what takeaways we can have from those from a Dynasty perspective. And honestly, besides just watching the games and so many entertaining games and so many fun games there's been, I don't have too many larger Dynasty takeaways at the moment. We do have some teams that are looking on the ropes, mainly looking at you, Phoenix Suns, and there probably will be some team shakeups and fallouts from that later in the offseason. But we're still a little bit far away from that point, and I don't want to speculate too much on that regard. In terms of individual players, though, there's definitely one player I want to talk about in hone in on from a Dynasty outlook, and that is Paolo Banchero of the Orlando Magic. I do want to note I am recording this Saturday before the games, so that's ahead of the Cleveland Magic Game 4 series. So I'm not sure if what I'm going to say is going to sound very stupid in hindsight or very prescient. But I have not been impressed by Paolo Banchero that much in his first three playoff games. He struggled massively in the first two games against Cleveland. He was unable to hit shots from the field. He turned the ball over 15 times in two games. So not even looking at his shot efficiency, field goal percentage efficiency wasn't great, but it wasn't absolutely horrible. But turning the ball over 15 times in two games, even if you're asked to be the lead operator, is just not good. It's not a positive thing. That's not something that you want your lead offensive engine to do. And I know he had a strong game three. I was impressed by that game, but a lot of it was off the back of hitting his mid-rangers, and that needs to be more consistent. It's not something we've seen Paolo do in his career up to this point. He did have zero turnovers, which is a great improvement, so he did improve there. Then again, if you say, okay, well, he turned the ball over 15 times in three games, yeah, that's not exactly a positive rate either. And of course, he's young. Of course, he'll have time to improve on this. But I want to emphasize that his starting point and his base point today is still a far away point from where you want your lead offensive engine to be. Now, I think there's fair caveats and context to discuss here. The Cleveland Cavaliers are a pretty good defense, in fact, a really good defense, and they also have Evan Mobley and Jared Allen. And Evan Mobley's guarding him pretty well on the wing, stymieing a lot of what he wants to do and his ability to get to the rim. And there's also the cries of, hey, look at his team's spacing. It's so non-existent. And I think those are very fair caveats. Obviously, less spacing on the court, players are going to collapse in on the paint. And when you have Evan Mobley guarding Paolo Banchero on the wing, that's probably one of the better defenders you can have against him. Given that, though, he still isn't getting to the rim at a great rate. He's not forcing the issue. And his finishing inside when he does get there has actually been pretty disappointing. His efficiency in that game three was on the basis of hitting those mid-rangers, as we said earlier. And that's great. That's fantastic. But over this past two seasons, we've seen him really struggle to hit that shot consistently. And if that's your bread and butter, is hitting tough, contested mid-rangers, that's a really hard thing to do and be an excellent offensive engine. Even a player like Kevin Durant, who's probably one of the best contested mid-range players of all time, we've seen his offense have limitations at higher ceilings. Still good for the regular season, still good for fantasy, but there are some question marks there, and Paolo Banchero's a far ways away from being Kevin Durant level. Getting back to the issue of the lack of getting to the rim, he's not really forcing the issue, and on the topic of spacing, he's not really even trying to get to the rim enough for my liking to even force the spacing to really be an issue. We've seen players like Zion Williamson, even with the lack of spacing, still at least get into the paint, and then maybe he has an errant pass or has to pass it out because it's so contested and clogged. But Paolo Banchero just isn't even getting into the paint to force that to be an issue. He's been guarded by George Niang a decent amount of the time, and Paolo just doesn't attack him that often. He either settles for a mid-ranger or passes it out and around. Again, you're being guarded by George Niang. That is not a good NBA defender. So the fact that you aren't even seeming to try to get by him that often and then at least make the defense collapse, make them double, make them make you either make that hard pass or make that contested layup. I would like to see more of that. And someone like Cade Cunningham, we see him at least try to drive and then get either turn the ball over or maybe have to face a contested shot. And I just haven't seen that as much from Paolo Banchero. And I don't like that. I don't like his tendency to want to be almost this more mid-range player because I just don't think that's his strength. Again, he is young. He can improve on his touch from the field. He can improve his shot. But where the point he's at now with his percentages on those shots, he would need a lot of improvement to get there. And he can improve on his touch. He can improve on his dribble craft. He can improve getting to the rim better and better recognition of those scenarios. But there's just so many indicators that he's not necessarily a budding superstar who can lead an offense by himself. And the indicators I'm seeing is that he's more an acceptable high usage option. And that may sound like more of a knock than it is. I think there's a lot of value in being able to generate shots, even at middling efficiency, on high volume. And I think Paolo Banchero has definitely proven he can be that. Are there indicators he can be more than that? Potentially, but I'm not necessarily baking it in as a given just because he's young and can improve and develop. Because what I'm seeing in eye tests and stats, he's still such a far away, really far away from that point, honestly. And so I think these playoffs are showing those pain points. Even though, I mean, yes, these are his first three games of the playoffs against a great defense. So maybe I'm not giving him enough credit here. But at the same time, we've seen the story of the Magic this entire season, and they've been built off their defense. It's not their offense which is driving their wins. It is their defense. And I think that's important to note. And so for Paolo's fantasy game and dynasty game, what that means is that with his lack of defensive stats, he needs to maintain that usage in the future to build upon the fantasy promise that we think he can have. And if we're seeing indications that he's not a high-tier or top-tier usage option, then maybe he tricks down a little. He either ticks down a little bit his usage on a better team or when that team gets more offensive options, or he just kind of more stagnates and plateaus, which, that's not to say he won't be a good fantasy option for counting stats. We've seen that this year. You know, great points. These pretty solid boards, pretty solid assist. But can he get to a point where he builds upon that, gets that efficiency up, and can be a positive and, you know, field goal percentage and free throw percentage to help offset some of his lack of other stats? That's why I question it a little bit and where that ceiling will end up being and where he'll develop to in the future.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Now, we're going to get into some of the draft scouting, and we're going to dive into two of probably the better big man prospects in this draft. And they're very different prospects, so let's just get right into it. First, we're going to discuss Alexander Sarr, who's French-born and played for the Perth Wildcats of the NBL, which is the Australian National League, this past season. He's about 7'1", with a 7'5 wingspan, and is a pretty fluid big. He's not necessarily one of those hefty, strong big man types, but a very fluid body. We'll get into that later. He's very young. He'll have a draft age of a little over 19. And So he's pretty much going to play his first rookie year when he's all 19. I don't think he turns 20 until the season will be over. So he, whenever we're discussing him in all his contexts, we have to keep in mind his age and that he was also playing in a man's league. The Australian League is one of the better leagues in the world, probably the third best behind the EuroLeague, and then obviously the NBA. And he's playing against some large, fully developed competition there. So that's kind of an overall caveat across his game. But let's get into some of the pros of his game. And his defense is definitely his calling card. I just want to bring that up at the top. We'll get into that later. I first want to focus on the offensive side, though. And he looks comfortable enough dribbling the ball, but or at least a willingness to attack off closeouts or do a little something here and there, which I do like. I think that at least a willingness to do that shows that he's comfortable enough doing that and will maybe feel that tendency more. It's a work in progress for sure. He's very right-hand dominant at the moment. And even though I said he has a willingness to do this and dribble and try to self-create, there's still not much on-ball potential or really craft there, which, that's going to probably hurt his usage and points at the NBA level and for Dynasty. I definitely don't see someone with high usage or points impact because that dribble package is pretty unrefined, has little to no self-creation at the moment. But I think there's enough shades of it where maybe it won't be a negative or maybe he can do a little something here and there. I do think he's a very aggressive finisher when he gets ahead of steam. I do like how he uses his long strides to Eurostep and create favorable angles on the glass and attacking. So I don't think there's a high offensive usage upside in points. I don't think he has that craft and handle, but an opportunistic attacker who can maybe not be a super negative in points and usage. I think we have some potential there. I also thought he flashed some shades of finding cutters with incisive passes, whether operating in that high wing area or even attacking those closeouts sometime or on the short roll in the pick and roll. So I think there's some potential for assist here. Not obviously a huge amount. I don't think he's going to be that on-ball monster, but I think he can at least rack up some assists and just chip in from the big man spot, which is if you can just chip in from your center slot or power forward slot in fantasy, that's obviously positive and we'll take what we can get there. Talking about his pick and roll game, I think he's fairly fluid on the roll. He has pretty soft hands, has a really nice catch radius and vertical as well, which should definitely help out his field goal percentage. Just being able to get those easy looks set up to him by other players is a positive and just helps give a good buffer and a floor for his field goal percentage. And talking about that catch radius, he's a good two-footed leaper. He is a very willing runner towards the rim and is willing to go up and high point those balls, slam it down for dunks. Again, that's just good for his field goal percentage and just usage on the offensive end in general. Again, length and wingspan is just an inherent massive positive. Talking about, again, on the short roll and his passing, I think he actually showed some good, decent recognition of the defense. I can see him tipping some assists, either even just passing across to the weak side. He had one play where he received the ball in the short roll on the right side of the lane, and then pretty quickly noticed the help was coming in from the opposite weak side corner, and he just whipped that ball to the corner, got a three, got an assist. Having that in his game is really adds another layer of versatility to the offense and how you can utilize your big man, not just for screening and in the roll game, but then knowing they can make that extra pass and chip in that usage there. Let's talk about his shooting a little bit. His shot, mechanically, I don't love it. He has a tendency to kind of bring that ball and dip it down before going up, which is going to affect his release point and some of the shots he's able to take at the NBA level in a catch-and-shoot scenario. He will need to clean up those mechanics a little bit for a quicker release. I don't think his release is actually bad. It looks fairly fluid besides that little hitch, so I think that's something that can definitely improve at the NBA level and with some further development. And he has a willingness to at least shoot, which, as we discussed last week, even just being willing to shoot is a good indicator of what he's telling us how he feels about himself as a shooter. Now, the percentages aren't there yet from the deep ball. He took nearly two threes in 18 minutes per game, which is a decent attempt rate, but only hit 27.6% of them. That's obviously not really where you'd call someone a shooter. But I think with some development and with a fairly fluid release, I think he can get there to a point where he can chip in some of those threes, and we can feel comfortable enough projecting that he won't be a complete negative in the threes. Maybe not a positive, but I think there's a little bit there. Let's talk about some of his finishing and inside game. I talked about earlier how I thought he showed some good craft and aggressive finishing when he had that head of steam, but when he doesn't, he looks a little tentative going up and just really, really passive in that regard. That could just be a factor of him playing in a pro league. And as I said, he was basically playing when he was 18, just turned 19. And yeah, he's going against bigger dudes who are more developed. He needs to bulk up more. But I mean, that could come in time. And I think he has enough length and craft that he'll be able to at least develop a good finishing package outside of dunks or outside of easy layups. I didn't love how he used his left forearm to constantly shove off to help create that space, but again, I probably attributed that more to being a factor of playing in a pro league in his age, and I don't want to just chalk that up to youth and say that he will get strong. I don't think he'll get strong per se at the NBA level, but he can be strong enough. In terms of his post-up ability, there wasn't too much in his film of him getting on the low block and posting up, unless it was a clear mismatch and he just overwhelmed the player with size. Again, pro league, caveats there, but I think there's a less potential for someone that you want to feed the ball in the post and run some plays out of in the post. I don't really see him being, I mean, maybe like one or two post-ups per game, something like that, at the NBA level with mismatches, but I don't think that will be a consistent part of his game. Okay, we talked about the offensive enough with Alexar, so we have to get into his defense, which I was blown away by and very impressed by. Not to mention his just length and size, right? 7'1 height, 7'5 wingspan, very good measurables. But the way his feet shifted so quickly was just so impressive. His hips seem extremely fluid. He could really just change his body position and angle so easily. And he was able to stick out with people on the perimeter, play inside, recover really nicely, and really just play in a variety and versatility of schemes. And that should just translate to the NBA level. It feels weird to talk about his hips being extremely fluid, but being able to shift your hips and react to players either crossing over, changing direction, is really crucial at the NBA level. And he had some of the quickest hips I've seen, and really quick feet for just someone of his size. I was so impressed by that aspect of his game. I also think he had a really good understanding of how to use his length to trail drivers and then either contest from behind or just block from behind. And his blocks are going to be a good contribution. It's not just his blocking ability at the rim or from weak side help or just as a traditional big man, but also off switching and being able to trail those quick guards who can get by him. He knew how to basically bait them into that. And it's kind of the that meme where call an ambulance, but not for me, once a guard got by him, because he knew how to almost bait them into taking that layup that they thought was open. And he would just come and swoop in, get that block from behind. I was so impressed by that ability at such a young age. I was also very impressed by his hands on defense. He's constantly shifting his arm angles, swiping into the disruptive ball handler without fouling. And although his steal rate didn't necessarily show this, I think there is some upside here with his length and mobility, not just on ball, but as a roamer, to generate some steals and passing lanes and help juice that transition game. I really like that aspect of his game. And yeah, I think there's some steals potential here too. He had a really good sense on when to help dig in on defense from the opposite side, go to the nail, cut off drives, or passing angles. And he also anticipated rotations really well in order to cut off that open pass. So with all this being said about his defense, he just is someone who you can build a defensive identity around with his, not just his ability to block shots and stick with players, but the variety of schemes that he's going to be able to play defensively at the NBA level. And that's a really good selling point on his minutes and how his versatility can just help shape a lineup and how he'll be able to stick in a rotation to be able to play those high minutes and generate stats. That's always a good thing for fantasy. Without minutes, you're not going to see production. Something I do want to touch on in his defense, though, is I thought he had a tendency to actually leave his feet a little too easily when guarding. Again, that's actually good for blocks because he's almost hunting these blocks in a way. It's not necessarily good for fouls and minutes, but that being said, he only had 1.4 fouls in 17 minutes per game, which is a really low rate. So I feel like my eye test is deceiving me there, and maybe I'm just noting something that seems that's not accurate. I think that's more the case, honestly. And on that note, I also didn't love his leaping angles when contesting, and maybe that's, I feel like I'm being nitpicky with him there. A jumping contested player, a player who's jumping for blocks, that's his more profile than someone who's willing to be stout and almost just wall off the rim, kind of like Evan Mobley does. But again, that foul rate doesn't necessarily show that. So I don't know, maybe I'm just not saying something. I could see maybe some of the more griftier players in the NBA baiting him in some fouls early. But I could see that, but he's starting from just a good low rate of fouls that I don't really think that is going to be an issue for Sar. And again, talking about his pick and roll, his cat mouse drop pick and roll game does need a little refinement. But that's really the only negatives on defense. These are very minor nitpicks. Overall, the defensive package is at a really high level. And it's just, again, it's really impressive. This is someone who you're projecting to build a defensive identity around, should be able to play high minutes and generate not just blocks and steals, but with the high minutes, generate a lot of stats for fantasy. Lastly, let's touch on his rebounding a little bit here. And his rebound rate was pretty low. Again, I can't say this enough, he's playing in a pro league at 18 years old. He had about 4.5 boards in 18 minutes per game. That's not the most impressive rebounding rate, but I actually thought he had the strong bones of a good rebounder. He was active and really attentive in putting a body on a man and boxing them out and creating that space. Sometimes he would get a little overpowered on the defensive glass and players would be able to kind of bully him and get that offensive board. But I really love the fundamentals. Now, I was someone in pickup who, when the ball went up, I would always box a guy out and really be aware of that. And sometimes I'd actually make other players upset by how active I was boxing out. But I see that same tendencies from Sar as well. And I just love that about his game. I love that he is a very willing defensive rebounder. And I think those boards would actually get up to a point where we're pretty happy with them from a fantasy perspective. So let's summarize Sar here. His offensive package is very unrefined at this point, but his overall length and fluidity and his mobility are just, again, those are tools you cannot teach and are inherent to him and are going to be such a great tool for him at the NBA level. He's able to shift so quickly on the perimeter, as well as utilize his length to block off the rim, which is just a rare combination. You see that from the best NBA defenders, and Sar has the bones of that package. He should be able to run a variety of NBA defensive schemes at a high level. And in addition, I think he has very active hands. I think he's constantly shifting, swiping in to pester opposing ball handlers, and could be a force in those passing lanes. And I think he could generate those steals, even if we necessarily haven't seen that yet. His fluidity does aid him on the offensive end, right? He shows the bones of a really good role man with a solid catch radius, solid vertical leap, and competent finishing package currently. Obviously, his one glaring weakness is his lack of an offensive go-to game and that self-creation aspect. He currently is relying on others to create for him. His shot on the catch and shoot does need some work to speed it up and become more of a weapon, but I think there's enough there that it should at least be a part of his arsenal, if not a great one. So while that self-creation is lacking from Sar and is typically one of the most important NBA skills, he ticks so many other boxes that should make him a valued member of an NBA rotation in due time, and probably one of the highest upside players in this draft, just given that level, what he does across the court and other aspects. He's probably not going to be a high on-ball usage player, but he can do a lot of other things extremely well. And I think that bodes extremely well for his minutes and his production at the NBA level. So summarizing the fantasy things we touched on here, the block should be there, and that probably will be his best fantasy category. I can also see the boards getting impactful as well with that rebounding approach I touched on earlier. He should be able to capitalize on easy finishes and be a positive contributor to field goal percentage. That could vary depending on how much his on-ball game grows and if that finishing package becomes even better, but undoubtedly that field goal percentage should be a positive. I can see him getting to average on three-pointers, maybe 1.5 to 2 a game. It's probably a fair projection with some development. The steal rate isn't there yet. As we mentioned earlier, he was about, I think, 0.4 steals in those 18 minutes per game. So that's not a great thing, but I think there's some more potential there. Along with the shooting, I think we can see some acceptable free throw percentage as well. It hovered a little above 70%, which isn't the greatest indicator, but I think we can see improvement there to at least be passable in that regard. On to some of the negatives. His points in usage are unlikely to be a strength. He had roughly a 22% usage in the NBL, which isn't screaming high. It's not screaming high points, but on a slightly positive note, that should mean his turnovers are likely to be lower. And talking about his assists lastly, I think he can chip in there, either from the short roll or finding some of those players. I don't think it's a huge inherent strength with that vision and processing, but it's there enough where, hey, maybe you see 2, maybe 3 a game, and you'd be happy with that. So overall, I'm very confident in Alex Czar being a solid NBA player for his defensive ability, and I think that will translate to fantasy as well pretty nicely. However, I'm not confident in his on-ball game, and that's going to hurt his fantasy game and just overall ceiling, because I don't think he's going to be able to develop those counting stats and points and assists. But there's a lot to like about his game, and he's definitely probably going to be one of the safer fantasy players, if not without the highest ceiling, but he should be able to contribute to a variety of categories very nicely.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Now, we'll get into a different type of big man prospect, and that is Donovan Clingan, sophomore out of the University of Connecticut, coming off a NCAA title victory. We talked about Czar and his fluidity, but now we're pretty much going to the opposite end of the big man spectrum with Donovan Clingan, who is a very massive player. He stands about 7'2", with a 7'7 wingspan, and is 265 pounds. And he is just a towering presence with that height, that length, and that size. He just looks massive out on the NCAA court, and really just is a presence out there. Again, to mention his draft age, he will be a little over 20 when he enters the league. He stayed 2 years in college, so he'll be a little on the older side of some of these prospects. That doesn't necessarily mean that he doesn't have the upside, but we're going to get into that later. So we talked about his towering presence and size, and sometimes you see these bigger lumbering big men and you don't see great mobility. For his size, he does have decent mobility, but it's definitely not a strength overall. And I'm actually am a little concerned that his mobility at the higher levels of the NBA play will be exploited. I think he may have to be limited to drop coverage mainly, which without that versatility to run different defensive schemes, we could see a slight minutes concern there. I didn't really see him play up at the point of attack often. And in the NBA, you know, I think he could struggle with those quicker guards who like pulling up in the mid-range or from deep even. So I'm a little concerned with Clingan's minutes with that lack of mobility. I think he's, in terms of defense, I think like Brook Lopez, where we see him always playing drop, and if, you know, a quicker guard is exploiting him, than we see his minutes go down, I think that's pretty comparable there. And obviously with less minutes, you're not going to be able to get as much stats. Let's talk about his finishing and offensive game some here. He had pretty good finishing at the line, nearly 70% there, and should undoubtedly be a help in the field goal percentage department. However, in terms of his offensive game, he's not really crafty with post moves, and I definitely will not forecast as someone with many post-up points per game, driving his usage down, driving his overall points down. And I thought he lacked a lot of touch on finesse finishes or from the floater range outward. He wasn't really willing to take that little pop shot from the roll, and I think that's his lack of versatility in a shot could be an issue at the NBA level, actually. He was very good finishing on dunks, very good at finishing, two-handed finishes near the rim, even when contested. But get out a little further away from that, so even 5 feet outward, and I actually have a little bit of questions on his finishing. And really just in general of his scoring ceiling from that mid-range or floater range outward. He doesn't show a lack of touch. He didn't shoot threes at all. So don't expect threes from fantasy. His free throw percentage was pretty low, shot 56% from the line over his two college seasons. And so that's just going to lower his scoring ceiling. He had very little in-between game as a big man. And I'm not saying he has to be great from there or show that too much, but it does definitely limit what he can do out there on the court on the offensive end. Is he just going to be limited to finishes around the rim or offensive rebound putbacks? I wouldn't go that far, but I don't think that's really too far off from what we saw from him. But with his offense, we have to also talk about his vision as a big. He had very good vision as a standstill hub, and I think we can see some decent assist potential from that big spot. He had a 13.5 assist rate, which is pretty decent, and really fired off some nice touch passes from higher up on the court around that three-point line, where he could see the cutters and use that height to just scan the court and identify the right pass. And I thought his processing and just vision in general were very solid. So I think he can be utilized in that department and find those cutters and trickle in some assists here and there. Now, somewhat on that note, I thought his dribbling package was very simplistic. If he got the ball down low, he would just try to overpower the defender with almost a one-handed power dribble back in and then try to go for that contested finish, which he was decent at, but not great. Again, going to that lack of a post game. And I think that dribbling package being so simplistic will limit his overall offensive contributions and lead to a pretty low usage relatively at the NBA level. I also thought he tended to dribble in the post with his head down, and leading to some either player swiping in or just him not being able to see passes in that post game and be a post game hub. Now, his turnovers statistically weren't that high, and they probably won't be with his lack of usage, but I don't think this is a player that you're going to want to get the ball in the low post often, and I could see us getting frustrated a little bit at the NBA level if we're seeing a lot of post-ups. I don't think they're always going to go that well. So in terms of utilizing that vision, I think it's more when he's further out on the court and can stand still, scan the court rather than dribbling in. And another note on the dribbling is that when he does get the ball in the short roll, he's not really able just to take that dribble and go up for a finish that well. It looks very awkward and clumsy at this point. That's something that I think can improve at with more craft and more reps and development time. But I didn't really love what I saw from him in that short roll game. Next, let's get into his rebounding. And obviously, he's a massive human being, a massive NBA player. But his rebounding fundamentals are also just very solid as well. He has a great sense of when to box out and then just attack the glass, attack the board. And he should be a very strong defensive rebounder. He just knows how to straight up attack the defensive glass. He averaged about 5 defensive boards in 22.5 minutes per game, which is nearly a 26% defensive rebounding rate, which is very strong. So we should see some immediate payoffs from his rebounding numbers early on in his career. And in terms of the offensive rebounding, I'm kind of separating that out. His size at the NCAA level definitely helped him grab defensive boards. But I wouldn't necessarily call him an aggressive offensive rebounder. He's not someone like Mitchell Robinson, who's almost moving around players and gobbling up the offensive boards. He's kind of just overpowering the opposition and utilizing his size just to bang his way in there and grab the board. That's not to say I don't think he won't grab offensive boards at the NBA level, but I think against more developed players and just larger NBA players, it may not be as much of a factor as we think. So let's get into his defensive package. Again, that's his calling card right now, is his fantastic rim protection numbers. He knows really well how to use his verticality to contest shots. And he stayed out of foul trouble really nicely, and his block totals were just really impressive in college. He had a block rate of 14.3 and 11.4 his 2 years in college, which is very strong. If you have a block rate above 10%, that's normally been a very good indicator for blocks at the NBA level. And he averaged 2.5 blocks per game in 22.5 minutes per game, which is fantastic. A common comparison for him is Walker Kessler in that regard, and I think it's pretty fair. I don't always love making player-to-player comps because I don't like boxing in my scouting that way, but it's very easy to make a comparison between the two. He also has a good sense of when to sell out for a block versus stay vertical. So he's not just someone who's going to get blocks and is not actually a good rim protector. I think he is a complete rim deterrent. And we see on his game film that players just don't want to challenge him and don't want to shoot against him. And when they do, it usually ends up poorly for him. He had some of the best rim deterrent numbers and some of the best field goal percentage when defended at the rim at the college level, and compared very favorably to other rim protectors we've seen over the past couple years. So I think his rim deterrence will be a very valuable tool at the NBA level. In terms of pick and roll defense, I did talk about his lack of mobility earlier, and I think that could be a hindrance, but I think he does a good job of keeping guards in front of him. He usually does that by dropping deep and keeping the play in front of him and then using his length to go up and contest if needed. But at least the guards aren't blowing by him, so I think he has a very good sense of what he can do and what he can't do and utilizing that on the court. So I think that should help his minutes at least somewhat. I don't think he's going to be some lumbering big who is allowing a ton of penetration, allowing the defense to get all scrambled, and then allow easy shots. I think he can at least be passable there and not be a complete sieve and just someone who gets played off the court. I don't necessarily see that lack of mobility in his game. So that's a good thing. Should help his minutes. In terms of his role man, I think he has a pretty good catch radius with soft hands, but he's not a huge vertical threat unless he builds up that head of steam. So again, he's obviously just a massive human, massive arms and wingspan, so he'll be able to just get passes without that jumping, but you know, we don't see a pogo stick lob threat here. And again, to help aid his field goal percentage, I think he's a very willing screener and cutter, and he finds open holes on the court readily on the offensive end. That should definitely help him build those, I guess, field goal attempts up a little bit and allow us to capitalize on his finishing at the rim and help contribute in that field goal percentage. Lastly, we need to do talk about his conditioning a little bit. And there's lots of talk of him, of this being a potential issue. I was actually shocked at the stat when I saw it. He only played 30 plus minutes 4 times in college over 2 years, which just honestly shocked me. I mean, yes, the games are 40 minutes, there's 2 20-minute halves, but that's still not great, not what you want to see. You want your big man to be able to play a decent amount of minutes inherently, unless you're getting played off the court for other reasons. So the fact that he couldn't do that while being such a clear positive on the court is a little worrisome. But I also think his conditioning is a little overblown. He was dealing with a right foot sprain injury early in the college season, and he was clearly getting back up to speed. By the time the March Madness tournament rolled around, we saw him play good minutes and just, I mean, he didn't look too winded on the court out there, honestly. So, you know, you might question the overall conditioning, but I think it's just more due to his general size and heft and just being a man of that size and how injuries could affect him, rather than his college data and saying, oh, I don't think his lack of conditioning is an issue. I think his conditioning honestly looks fine. It was more the injuries that would be the concern. So hopefully that's not an issue going forward. I think it's a little overblown in terms of the minutes he can play at the NBA level. And we talked about his size a lot here, but he could be a little overly reliant on size. And just in terms of being so large that he can kind of bully ball a lot of college players, I'm not sure if he'll be able to do that as well at the NBA level. This could just be me being like a little concerned trolling here. Obviously, in the boarding, blocks, and finishing, those are going to be positives. It may not be as positive as we've seen at the college level, but it's probably to be a little expected. And obviously, Klingon will grow and adapt to the NBA level as well. So let's get into a summary of Donovan Klingon here. He's your fairly typical massive big man player and prototypical in that regard. He does provide an excellent understanding of how to position himself both on the defensive and the offensive end. So on the defensive end, that displays in his rim deterrence, boarding, screening, and general ability to rack up blocks. Very positive for fantasy in that regard. He has a little extra offensive juice with his vision and processing, which allows him to act as maybe not a low post hub, but maybe a high post hub or elbow hub. So I like that aspect of his game, and maybe we can see his vision and processing increase a little bit more. The overall questions with Klingon, though, reside with his lack of just versatility in different schemes and where his overall upside is on the court. On offense, obviously, we didn't really touch much on his on-ball game because there just wasn't too much on that to discuss on the game film. And if there's generally not much to discuss on the game film, it's not a positive. Which means we're not going to see probably this touch or his handles to ramp his usage up, and you know, we should not expect strong points here at all from him. On defense, I could see him being limited to just drop coverage only, which I think he can excel in and do very well. But that could limit his minutes upside from a great amount, just depending on the matchups. I'm probably overblowing that a little bit, just because obviously fantasy happens during the regular season and against a variety of teams, so probably night in, night out, it's not an issue. And I think you should probably still see a good amount of minutes per game. So I'm confident Klingon will be an impactful rim protector and rebounder early on. I'm just struggling to see a little bit where this overall ceiling is and where his fantasy ceiling will go, because I don't think he's going to have high usage, not going to be high points. That's going to limit his assist a little bit, going to limit the impact of his field goal percentage. And he does have some warts in his fantasy game. So talking about his fantasy game now, strong boards, strong blocks, strong field goal percentage. Those are his calling cards. Pretty prototypical big man stats here. Consequentially, on that note, his three-point percentage in threes almost certainly going to be negatives and probably just non-existent. Along with that lower usage, he's going to probably provide low points as well. If he had a little more touch on his floater and mid-range shot, I might believe in points a little bit more, but we just don't currently see that. It probably will develop a little bit, but not to a point where I'm saying, oh, well, he's not a complete Steve in points. I'm not saying he's going to be a complete negative in points. He has a really good screening ability, but I'm not seeing a high usage score here at all, or even maybe a medium usage score. With his vision, we can see some assists from the big man slot, and as we discussed with Sar, I think Klingon can at least chip in there, which is, hey, chipping in from the big man slot, you kind of take that. Probably won't be a high usage hub for various reasons we discussed, but chipping in some assists, that's good. And given that lower usage, probably shouldn't expect any high turnovers. So turnovers will be a little bit of a plus there as well. He may get some steals just due to his overall size, but pretty doubtful to be impactful there. His steal rate was lower than ideal, so don't really think we should expect steals to be part of the package. And normally I don't love discussing landing spot this early, but for Klingon, I think it's very relevant. He can be someone who has the capability to contribute positively early on, if given the role in minutes. So if he goes to a center needy team, or someone who just needs a center to fill in for 20 minutes a game, yeah, that's enough minutes for him to contribute positively in those boards, blocks, and field goal percentage. Klingon will not be the highest upside player, far from it, because of all these holes in his on-court game. But I'm pretty confident he'll be a nice contributor. So if you're looking for someone who... a player who you want some big man production from early on, Klingon will be your player. That will do it for this episode of the Punt Intended podcast. And next week, we'll get into some of the G League prospects. Excited to dive into those. I've with the G League shutting down, this is really their last proper prospects. So I think it'll be interesting to see how these players do at the NBA level. On the written side note, we have started releasing some of our teams for our Dynasty review, with the Celtics, the Nuggets, and the Clippers being released. Some very interesting teams to talk about, especially during the playoffs. So give that a read when you get a chance. Other than that, we'll see you next week when we start getting into some of those G League prospects.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley, in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.